This is CD 13 of an 18 CD set containing sessions from a 4-week course by Ram Dass titled The Yogas of the Bhagavad Gita. This CD contains part 2 of session number 11 titled Devotion and the Guru.
Sabake Pranapati. This is Hanuman. Hanuman is the monkey. Hanuman is the monkey who is the perfect servant of Ram. Hanuman is the symbol of service to God that is so selfless and so pure. When Hanuman is asked by Ram, he's asked by God, "Who are you?" He says, "When I don't know who I am, I serve you. When I know who I am, you and I are one." And he is, in the Ramayana, the holy book of Ram, Hanuman has the capacity to become huge or tiny, depending. He can do anything. He can get so big he can hold the sun in his hand. And he does all that because of the purity of his love for God. Just as we are talking about in Patanjali Ashtanga Yoga, that when you tell truth, when you are totally identified with truth, your words develop the power. Power of that what you say happens. And in a way, the intensity of his love made him able to leap the ocean or do whatever was necessary to be done. And the tradition of Maharaji is through this Hanuman sect. It's one way of talking about it. It's much farther out than that, but I'm very reticent to share with you things that I feel you would have difficulty hearing. And at the same moment, I feel a tremendous commitment to be very honest and truthful with all of you. I think in honesty, I must tell you, even though this will be very hard on most of you, that in fact, Maharaji is a reincarnation of Hanuman. These are all murtis of Hanuman, which means consecrated statues. The statue is built first by a very pure being, and then it is invested with mantra and with love and with prayer. And there is this delightful story. There are these many stories about these murtis. There is the story Maharaj used to tell us about an old pujari, an old temple priest, who left a young boy in charge of his temple when he went away. The way it happens is you bring food, and the pujari takes it in behind the screen, and he draws the screen, he draws a curtain, and then he offers it to Hanuman. And then usually what the pujari does is he takes a little bit of the food off and keeps it there, which is then distributed to the poor. And the rest he gives back as prasad that comes from the statue. And everybody sort of takes it at different levels. Some think it's a game, and some accept it as the living prasad, which is what you will get at the door when you leave. And this young boy didn't know what the routine was behind the curtain because he'd never been behind the curtain. So he went behind when the first food was brought, and he offered it to the Hanuman, and Hanuman didn't take it. And the boy got freaked because he didn't want to go back with a full plate to the people. So he took a stick and he threatened Hanuman. And he said, "You've got to take this." So Hanuman took the whole thing. And everything on the plate disappeared. And he went out and he told the family that Hanuman took the whole thing, and they beat him thinking he had stolen it all, because they assumed he was just taking some off the plate. And when the old pujari came back, he said, "All my life I waited for this to happen, but I was never pure enough for Hanuman to do this with me." And the stories are so legion in India of the murti manifesting that I think most of us now that live in these temples have developed a tremendous amount of honor and love and respect, and realize that the murti is, just like an avatar, is a manifestation of the living God. This is Maharaji as a young sadhu. This could be somebody in the Haight-Ashbury district or in the mountains in Colorado. Until you look in the eyes. This picture, that picture, is a little part of the mystery about Maharaji, because we don't know where it was taken. We don't know anything about his childhood. There are many gossipful reports. We have no idea how old he was. These were some years back when he was... If you notice the arm, notice the left arm and the way his elbow works. He had this incredible phenomenon with his joints, which was a minor, what would be called a siddhi or a power. He could join his hands behind his back and bring them up over his head to his front without ever disengaging his hands. If you try that, you'll find it's quite impossible. And he used to entertain at the children's hospital. And once in Bombay, a noted surgeon came to see him, who used to treat Nehru and Kennedy. And Maharaji said, "Would you look at this arm and tell me why it's this way and what's happened? Because it bends in this funny way." And the surgeon said, "Well," he examined, he says, "well, what's clearly happened is you broke it when you were a child, and it never healed. It stayed loose in this way." Maharaji said, "Oh, isn't that interesting? Well, what about this one?" And he did the same thing with the other arm. And the surgeon freaked. Most frequent statement of Maharaji was sub ek. There is only one. He said, "Christ, Hanuman, Krishna, Ram, all one. See no difference. See all the same way." He said, "Jesus and Hanuman are the same. God allowed them to serve him in their different ways." He said, "You must honor Shiva through love. Ram and Shiva are the same. Ram worships Shiva. Shiva worships Ram. There's only one. Sub-ek. Don't have evil thoughts of others," Maharaji said. "You can't realize God if you see differences. Learn to find the love within." Maharaji spoke from different levels. Sometimes he was just hanging out and he was talking as a local sadhu, holy man. Sometimes he was talking from a very far deeper place, and then he might say, the whole universe is mine. I have no powers, I do nothing. God does everything. Do what you do, but never put anybody out of your heart. Maharaji, how do you turn fear into love? If you trust in Christ, you don't have fear. Well, what if you fear God more than you love Him? Fear of God is just another kind of love. The more you love God, the more you fear Him. You have to develop faith and love in Christ. Maharaji said, God is everybody. God is everybody. If you polish the mirror free of anger, you'll see God. Attachment is the strongest block to realization. A sadhu came to Maharaji, berating him for being attached to possessions. Maharaji called the sadhu before him and he said, give me the money you have inside your dhoti. Sadhu says, I don't have any money there. Maharaji says, give me the money inside your dhoti. And the sadhu brought out some rupee notes crumpled inside. Maharaji took them and threw them into the fire. And then the sadhu started to berate him again, this time for destroying the possessions of the sadhu. At which point Maharaji reached into the fire and started to draw out fresh 10 rupee notes. And he looked at him and he said, all the money in the world is mine. Maharaji said, no one believes in Christ, but I do. You must accept the teachings of Christ and follow them. Christ said to be like a little child. Never think or speak anything that could harm anyone. Maharaji said, the saint's heart melts like butter. No, it melts even more than butter. Butter only melts when it's near heat itself. A saint's heart melts when anyone else's heart comes near the heat. It's interesting, that expression, which we call the aged monkey. I sit with that a lot in my room. And depending on what I've done during the day, the expression keeps changing. And look at him as judging, disapproving, eternal, loving. People give him blankets. When he's finished with the blanket, suddenly the blanket becomes much smaller and he says, why are you giving me these blankets that are too small? There is a constant put-on with Maharaji. He's always putting people on. There were two Indian women who revered him very highly, older women. And one of them went into the latrine and she came out ecstatic and she said, I just had darshan of Maharaji in the bathroom. This was at a home far away from where Maharaji was. The other sister rushed in and all she found in the bathroom was a huge hooded cobra. You came to Maharaji, you just brought him an apple. There's nothing else you could give him. And he'd take the apples and he'd throw them at people. He really was a lot like a monkey. He had these incredibly long arms. That was the way we saw him a great deal of the time. We would sit opposite the courtyard and he would look like that from where we were looking. He'd just be sitting there alone. That's the Shiva image that I was singing to last night. One 70-year-old woman reported that when she was 6 years old, she remembered Maharaji, and he looked just the same way he looks now. The women there are doing aarti to Maharaji. There are women that take care of Maharaji, the maas, the mothers. And for years, when I lived at for all the time I was at the temple, I never even knew the mothers existed, because they were always kept out of sight. They were always busy just taking care of Maharaji, out of such love and devotion. And he was very fierce with them. Once when they didn't give him his medicine on time, I think I told you this, he said, "If you don't take care of me, I'm going to turn all your minds against me." The touching of the feet. The prana comes from the feet. The joy of touching the feet of such a being. The first day I met Maharaji, I couldn't imagine ever touching anybody's feet. The second day, I couldn't get there fast enough. Someone asked Maharaji, "How do I know if a person is my guru?" Maharaji said, "Do you feel he can fulfill you in every way spiritually? Do you feel he can free you from all desires and attachments? Do you feel he can lead you to final liberation? When you feel all these things, perhaps then you have found your guru." Maharaji said, "The guru is not external. It's not necessary for you to meet your guru on the physical plane." I must tell you this story. When I went to India in 1970, I couldn't find Maharaji, and we finally found him in Allahabad. And then he said, turned to me and he said, "See me in Vrindavan." So I left to go to Delhi for a festival, and then I went south with a group looking for him. I came to Vrindavan and he wasn't there. I wasn't going to return again for some months, at which point he would be up in the mountains. And when we finally came back there, I didn't want to go because I thought he wouldn't be there, he'd be in the mountains. But the group insisted, and we finally got there. Came to the temple and went in, and the place was empty. It was about 8:30 in the morning. And I was so disappointed because it was the second time I had gone to that temple and he wasn't there, and he had said he'd see me in Vrindavan, and I trusted him. Pujari said, "Oh no, Maharaji's in the mountains. You go see him in Nainital." So I said, "Well, let's not waste any time here. Let's go to the mountains." And we went outside and got in the car, and just as we were slamming the door of the car, up drove this little Fiat. Who was sitting in the seat next to the driver? Maharaji. He got out looking utterly bored, walked into the temple, ran to the driver and said, "What is he doing here?" He said, two in the morning, we were in another city, and he said, "Come on, we've got to go to a Vrindavan right away, quick." Then when he got to Agra, he said, "Well, we still have an hour to wait." So they went and visited a judge. And he said, "Come on, let's go." And then he drove up just at that moment. That's timing. That's the timing of showbiz. The cosmic showbiz. Isn't it? Aren't we? A man said to him, "Maharaji, you've promised for years to visit my home and you never visited, and I'm now not going to come see you anymore because you won't come visit my home." And Maharaji said to the man, "Oh, I didn't understand. It's your home. Oh, well, then of course I'll visit. I thought it was my home and then I didn't need to visit." There he is sitting in his favorite place. These are outside the showers. He also sat near the latrines. He was known as Latrine Baba often, mainly because he used such foul language. He used to swear at everybody. But since the Indians were so genteel, they would never translate for us. But everything looked so loving, we thought he was, you know, like he'd say, look at these depraved sister fuckers. And the Indian would translate it as, Maharaji said to keep your door locked. What's to do? Mr. Mountain. He kept changing his size all the time. So sometimes he'd be little and sometimes hugely fat and sometimes he wouldn't be fat at all. One woman went to rub his back and she couldn't even reach over his body to get to his back, no matter how hard she tried. She just kept making his body bigger and bigger and bigger. There's the sub-ek. Only one. It's all one. Or, tell the truth. Watch it. Or, I'm watching. Maharaji said to me, called me over one day, he says, what do you do about your mail? I said, I don't know, I answer it. He says, don't save your letters. And he had just received two letters. He put one on the top of his head, and the other he threw into the wind. Both of them unread, and I got very upset. But then he would do things like, I would get a letter in Nainital at the post office, and I would put it in my shoulder bag and get on the bus to go out to the temple. And I'd get to the temple, and I'd walk in, and Maharaji says, well, what does the letter say? And I'd start to tell him what it said, and he'd keep adding on things that I had missed in the letter. So I guess it wasn't necessary for me to read them anyway. But there he is making believe. See, there was nothing to do. You're going to realize in that predicament there's very little to do, so you're just sort of hanging out. It's all like, it's just Leela. You just can feel the quality of the divine dance, the play. The man next to him is Dada with a black vest. And Dada's been with Maharaji for many years, and Dada is he's the chairman of the economics department at Allahabad University. He's a very lovely, lovely being. And Maharaji stays at his home when he's in Allahabad. And when Maharaji isn't at his home, sometimes Maharaji just drops by astrally just to let Dada know he loves him. Dada describes how some nights when Maharaji is up in the mountains many hundreds of miles away, they'll lock the house up and go to bed, and Dada will have been correcting economics exams all evening and leave them on his desk. And in the morning he'll come down, and written over all the exams is Ram, 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 Ram. Playful fellow. Maharaji, what's the best service you can do? The best service you can do is to keep your thoughts on God. Keep God in your heart like you keep money in a safe. His name is Neem, one of his names is Neem Karoli Baba. Neem Karoli Baba. And there are many ways of how he got the name, but one story which concerns him was that he was in a compartment in a train and an Englishman had him thrown off because he was in a first class compartment. He was a young sadhu. And he went out and he sat down under a neem tree at Karori Station, police station. And they called all aboard and the engineer pulled out the throttle and the train wouldn't move. And for several hours they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And finally a very holy woman said, who is that sadhu? You threw that sadhu off the train. Put him back on. And they put him back on the train, and the train went. If you remember God, he takes care of everything. Everything. Why was Christ so maligned, Maharaji? Oh, it's so with all saints, but they only see love in everyone. Maharaji, how did Christ meditate? He lost himself in love. He was one with all beings and had great love for all in the world. He was crucified so that his spirit could spread throughout the world. He was one with God. He sacrificed his body for the Dharma. He never died. He never died. He is Atman, living in the hearts of all. Ram Dass, Abraham Lincoln was a good president. Oh yes, Maharaji? Why is that? Because he knew that Christ was the real president, he was just acting president. Maharaji was visiting the home of a loyal, very loving woman devotee. She had cooked food for him. And just then, many, many people arrived, 30, 40 people, and she said, "Oh, Maharaji, I can't feed them," which is a terrible thing in an Indian home. Maharaji just said, "Just cover the pot and start serving." And then there was more than enough food. My car broke down, and Maharaji said, "Take it to Delhi to have it fixed." And I said, "What does he know about cars? I'll have it fixed here in Nainital." So they tried and they tried and they couldn't fix it. It was a simple thing with a Volkswagen. So I went to Maharaji and I said, "They can't fix it in Nainital." Maharaji says, "Take it to Delhi." I said, "Maharaji, it would mean renting a truck to put it there to take it 200 miles to Delhi? 150 miles. Maharaji says, "Take it to Delhi." And I thought, what does he know about cars? He's a silly old man. There's a Volkswagen repair place in Almora. So I contacted them, and they finally, after many weeks and months, wouldn't come. I went to Maharaji, I said, "The Volkswagen people in Almora won't come. They're German mechanics." Maharaji says, "Take it to Delhi." Finally figured, all right, I'll take it to Delhi. We rented a truck and put the car aboard, and Krishna Das drove down with it in the big truck. Got to Delhi, took it off the truck at the garage, and the man reached in back and he touched a wire and the car started. It's this silly old man. What does he know about cars? Watch it. "I just love suffering," Maharaji said. "It brings me so close to God." You get gyan from suffering, wisdom. You're alone with God when you're sick, when you're in the cremation ground, and when you're in the hospital. And you call on God when you suffer. "It's difficult to empty the mind," Maharaji said, "but it's not necessary to go to the forest. You can do it anywhere, with any point. The mind goes 1,000 miles in the blink of an eye," Maharaji said. And he added, "The Buddha said that." Worldly people go outward, but you must go inward like the tortoise, withdrawing within your shell. "Serve the poor," Maharaji said. "Who's poor, Maharaji?" "Everyone is poor before Christ." Dada, there's Dada. One day Dada and Maharaji was sitting on a wall. Maharaji was sitting on the wall. And he called Dada over. And Dada got frightened because of the vibration. And Maharaji grabbed him by the hand and took him over and sat down in front of the Shiva temple. And Dada looked at Maharaji, and suddenly, instead of Maharaji, he saw a huge monkey. Several hours later, Maharaji came into the temple asking, "Where's Dada? Where's Dada?" Dada was found by a stream some distance away, just coming back into consciousness. Maharaji said, "I don't want anything. I exist only to serve others. I don't want anything. I exist only to serve others." You should not disturb anyone's heart. Even if a person hurts you, give him love. Maharaji said, "I can't get angry with you, even in a dream." If you cannot love each other, you cannot achieve your goal. I think what I found in Maharaji was something which satisfied not only my intellect but my heart. There was no place in him that was clinging, but the one quality which I very rarely find in that kind of beautiful emptiness is the intense degree of love, the oceanic love feeling that pervaded being around Maharaji. It was an aura, a presence that was so powerful that you felt bathed and purified just by being anywhere near it. Even now, just as I bring him into my heart, it does the same thing. I never understood Hindi, except Torah, just a little bit. But it never seemed to matter much, because the words weren't the level at which the relationship existed. We used to sing this song by the hour for Maharaji. Dada once said to us, "The only thing you can offer him is the purity of your singing to God."
Amen. Yeah.